outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, November 28th, and we're back live.
We are.
Hard to believe, but we are.
I know. Did you miss me?
Oh, yeah.
You did miss me.
Yeah, I did. I did. I know you've been having a lot of fun. And it's like so weird not to come in here for so long. And we were off for about a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy to get used to sleeping in. You know?
Yeah.
So I would sleep until about 10:30. And now I have to get up at 8. And I'm going, wow, I'm not used to this at all. You know. So I walk like a zombie in the morning.
See, I totally hear you. My schedule was crazy because I went back to the East Coast. Mm. Everybody gets up like, you know, 8 o'clock, which is like 5 a.m. our time.
Right.
So you think you go back to get sleep, and that just does not happen at all. Because if I ignore everyone, they'll come jumping on my bed or like in my room. Get up, get up. We got to go do
really?
That. We got to go. Come on, come on, come on. Because we don't have much time to spend with each other normally.
Right, that's
so,
true.
So, yeah, they're like, we're
so you went
time.
Back to visit your family and everything in Florida.
I did.
To those who don't know.
Yes.
And so you went for the whole week?
I did. It was so fun.
Was it fun?
Yeah, it's just, I can only take so much sometimes because we're all so independent in our own ways. But it's great. It's fun. I love our family debates. They get really heated and crazy. But it makes you think and intellectually stimulating, basically. And then during the day, it's my sister and my brother and I are all very spiritual. So, you know, we kind of did our own little things. And just to lay at the beach that's
yeah.
right there, it's great. And we did jet skiing. We have our jet skis and stuff. So it was good. But
wow.
The water was cold.
I'm sure, yeah. Because, I mean, it's not summer anymore, even in Florida, you know.
By the way, it was packed there. I mean, I have really? Never seen it this packed. I was excited because normally when I go, we go to visit, or I was going to visit, like, every 3 months, I think it was. I don't know. It was, like, last year. It was a lot. Do you remember?
Mm.
Last year I was going a bit. I can't really remember. Okay.
I remember only once that you went. I don't know.
I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so I was going often. And, I've never seen it that busy with people our age. And so I get there and I'm like, this is pretty rad. Everyone here is my age. I kind of like it.
Party
like,
time. Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, Florida is... that area at least is an older, more retirement, you know, area. And given my parents are not that old, they're like, you know, 56.
Mm.
So it's most people around their age, I'd say. But I've noticed this time it was great because it was tons of people, I'd say mid-20s to early 40s.
Wow.
So I was happy. I was like, oh, this is cool. This is great. This is like, you know, an age range I can deal with now.
Yeah.
All right. Sweet. You know, and it was good because like the main streets were packed full of people everywhere. And I don't know. I like that.
Yeah. It's fun. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's like holiday atmosphere.
Festivity,
you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And it was, the weather wasn't amazing. Of course, it turned 80 when I left, but
really?
It was like, you know, upper 70s,
uh-huh.
but the water was just colder. Even though it was on the Gulf, it's just a little bit colder. So, I mean, it's not like here, so I really shouldn't be complaining. I got it anyway.
Yeah.
But we took the jet skis out to the ocean and it was so choppy, like it was like crazy waves.
Really?
And I was like, I don't really feel like getting soaked like I'm getting. Normally, I love it. Like, you just want to take off and have a blast on the jet skis. Like, the more waves, the better.
Because,
you know, you get more air and stuff. But I let my brother drive, and I was behind. And I don't like that.
Yeah.
It's like a control thing. But I'll tell you why. Honestly, this is why. Because I trust people, but I don't trust him fully. Like, he's a really good driver. Don't get me wrong. He's awesome, and he's really good at when it comes to sports and stuff. But that being said, you can't control, like, because I'm the second person, I can't see the waves in front of him.
Right.
So I have no idea what to expect. So I don't know how to brace myself. So the whole time I'm, like, squeezing on. I'm like, this sucks. And then he lifts up. And I'm like, well, if I had known that huge wave was coming, I almost flew off so many times, which would have been funny, except that my sister was driving behind and she would have killed my ass.
Yeah.
So I like think like I'm trying to be logical of like, and then I'm like yelling at my brother, like, slow the fuck down. And he's like, but it's fun. I'm like, it's fun when you can see.
Yeah, when you're the driver.
You sit in the back. Yeah. You see what happens. So when it comes to, like, choppy waves and a little bit dangerous out there and there's other people around, I like driving because I know I'm better or I'm in control. And, like, I know I'm in control of my own fate, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
But
today, jet skis are different today. I mean, you can sit on them and actually not get wet if you don't go in the
If you're in the bay. Like, we wound up going in the bay afterwards because... Right. Well, actually, the bay was great water. It was very glassy. Mm. And you like the glassy water through the channels in the bay because you kind of glide more.
Right.
So you can spit out and do some fun things and yeah. whatever. And you don't get wet at all. You actually soak the other people.
Right, yeah.
On the glassy part.
I remember the first jet skis, yeah. they didn't have seats or anything. You'd have to stand
yeah.
on them, you know?
They're like the Sea-Doos.
And, yeah, mm-hmm. and it was funny. No, actually, the Sea-Doos came out later.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Jet ski, then yeah. Sea-Doo, then Wave Runner. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. We have Sea-Doo is what we have. Those ones. But they were great. I mean, it was cool. And then we had, it was weird because both of them are new. And we have depth finders on them. So you know, like, how deep it is underneath, like, where you're going over. Well, ours decided to go berserk. That's another thing.
Really?
Yeah. My dad's is, like, fine. Ours is, like, berserk. Like, it says it's 300 feet. And we're like, we know it's only 3 feet. And we're going to bottom out. You know what I mean? So we're like, fuck. So
300 feet, huh?
Yeah, well, it was lying to us. Yeah. And I think what happened was they must have hit a huge wave or something crazy, and it knocked the field viewer up. So it's going forward instead of down.
Right.
So it's like telling you how far ahead of something is or whatever.
Right.
It's pretty funny. So, but meanwhile, there's certain channels where, like, it's very shallow. Mm. And you can bottom the whole damn thing out. So, like, we were trying to be... I don't know. So, anyway, but it was fun. And we went on nature cruises. And I took a lot of photos and stuff. So,
amazing.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw the photo of... I mean, I was proud of you because you kept your word. And you put an eye in your sister's food. We were talking about this last time.
I was going to do it,
She doesn't like anything with eyes in it. And we were talking about it. And you said, I'll put an eye in her food or something.
Yeah.
And I saw the picture you posted. And you went through with it.
Yeah, I was trying to think of what to do. I was hoping she was going to make a tofurkey.
Uh-huh.
And then I was telling my brother what I was going to do. And he's like, yeah, we should find, like, you know, an animal and put the tofurkey in the shape of an animal and tell her we'll bake it for her. And then we'll stick eyes in it. And I'm like, that's really funny. He's like, we could, like, put something for legs, too. I'm like, all right. We couldn't find anything. And so my mother... If I told her I was playing a prank, she would flip her shit.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So we just don't tell her anything. So she went into, like, Target one day, and I'm like, I don't feel like going in here. I have nothing to get in here. So, but there's a shopping center. So I saw Party City next door, and I'm like, well, I'm going to wander through here. So I went in there, and I'm looking around. I'm like, do you guys have eyeballs? And they're like, what? I'm like, eyeballs. So I found it was a bouncy ball. Like,
yeah.
Eyeball. It was a really ugly one, too. So I was like, this is perfect. So I had no idea. I went in there and I bought all my Raven stuff too. So I was like, I'll get purple, like, clip-on hair things while I was there. Uh-huh. And then the eyeballs. And I'm like, oh, this will be great. And so I was looking for other things to put in there too, like maybe like worms or something. And then I was like, nah, couldn't find it. So I just got the eyeball. And I couldn't figure out what I was going to do because she decided that, and this is funny. So, and this is, I love her to death. But sometimes I can't decide if she's fully committed on things... Like, for example, not eating things with faces, or if it's just like a fad or because her friends are doing it or whatever. Because Thanksgiving Day, she wound up eating fish.
Oh, really?
And or actually, it was the day before Thanksgiving. It was the night before. Yeah, and when I was like, what, it has a face? And she goes, but it was wild caught. And I'm like, what the hell? So wait, you're just going to make up things as you go along? Like,
yeah, right.
If you're not eating things with faces, you're not eating things with faces. Like, that's, you know? Then you should say, I only eat wild caught or local wild caught. You know, like, that's her thing. And so that's the only reason why she ate the local wild caught. I'm like, you know what I'm not complaining? Because her and I split a meal. Because we both wanted, like, this thing. So I was like, you get this and I'll get this and we'll split them both. And so... So I wasn't complaining because I wanted the damn fish. But I was making fun of her a little bit. And I'm like, I'll just get her back later. Like, this makes no sense. You don't pick and choose which eyeballs you're going to eat and which ones you aren't, you know? It makes no sense to me. So it became even funnier a joke. So when I made my apple pie, I made a raw homemade apple pie, which was awesome. And I decided to shove it in there. It was perfect timing because I'm like, oh, when it cools off, it's my pie that I made. She's not going to look in my pie.
Right.
But the funny thing is everyone was so stuffed full of Thanksgiving meals that they were like, we're done dessert. So they kind of spread out through the house. Right. So I'm in the family room and I'm like, or my dad's room, basically. It's his, the man cave. And I was like, you know, can you please come out here and try my apple pie? And he's like, no, I'm full. And my sister's like, I'm full. And I'm like, come on, please. I baked this raw apple pie and you're really going to hurt my feelings if you just don't try it. And they're like, seriously? I'm like, yes, seriously. So I gave them this huge guilt trip and my dad was like, all right, fine, you asshole. I'll come try it. So it's like I literally put like, I poured it on hard. I'm like, no one cares about how hard I baked. It's fine. It was homemade. It was crushed purely by my hand.
And they still fall for that,
they
huh?
They did. I was like, yeah, I knew it would work. And it did. So they came up in the kitchen and I got it out. And I was like, hey, Sam, you open up the, take the lid off while I grab plates. Mm-hmm. Well, I knew as soon as she opened the lid, she'd see the eyeballs. So I was like, I had the camera ready, like already in the cabinet. So when I turned to go in the cabinet to grab something, I turned around and I took pictures and she was like, oh my God, that's not funny. I'm like, it is funny.
Wow. She was probably startled. Huh?
She was, but it was funny. I mean, and I made her take more photos.
Yeah, you're a funny family. That's
oh,
cool.
God.
How old is your brother?
He's 28.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Or he'll be...
So Samantha's the youngest.
She's 22.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, sounds like you had a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And so did it feel like Thanksgiving there?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It was good. It was good. It did feel like it. And we went on a lot of beach walks and bikes. They wanted to go running and walking. I'm like, I can't do that with my foot, so I'll bike.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was good.
Sounds good. Yeah. Well, awesome. So, well, you know, the whole time I didn't really do much, so I don't have a lot to say.
Really?
I mean, it sounds lame, you know? I mean, what the hell, you know, over a week.
Right.
But no, I didn't do much, you know? I mean, I just, you know, I mean, Thanksgiving was Thanksgiving.
Right.
We got together with family, we ate, and that's about it, you know? But no, I didn't do anything special, you know? So, but today in a few minutes, we're going to have... Judy Norton calling in. I don't know. Did you ever watch The Waltons or were you too young for that?
I think I watched it on Nick at Night.
Okay. Because I never watched it, but I remember how popular it was. And I guess she was Mary Ellen or something.
Yeah, you know what? I do remember it because if you remember Nick at Night, it's all the reruns from like, you know, the shows from like the 50s, 60s, 70s, all that.
Yeah.
Because that was old, right?
That was like in 60s? The 70s.
The 70s? Okay.
Right.
So... I did watch a couple of them. I mean, I have to say, like, it wasn't my favorite show, but I've watched it.
Yeah.
I love Patty Duke.
Yeah.
Do you remember Patty Duke?
Yeah, I do.
She was my favorite because she always got in trouble. So, like, she was
I've
my
never seen her show, but she was really young, right?
Oh, yeah.
She did that.
I love Patty Duke. I love Mr. Ed.
Mm-hmm.
I love Leave It to Beaver. Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
You know, all those. Yeah. Lassie, of course. I was obsessed with Lassie.
Yeah.
I wanted a Lassie dog really bad.
Yeah. You know, the girl from the Brady Bunch does a show here, did I tell you? Cindy? Her name's Susan Olsen.
Oh,
remember Cindy, the youngest girl and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she does a show here.
She's like the cute one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
But she looks nothing like she used to, of course. You know, I mean, she was really, really young then. And she's got a kid now and everything. But she's very cool. You guys can watch that on Monday night, Two Chicks Talking Politics with Sheena Middle and Susan Olsen. It's pretty cool.
Oh, she's in politics?
Not really, but they created a show about
not
politics.
Not really,
I
but
guess.
She's got a show on politics.
Yeah, exactly. She does get involved in it, but, you know, I mean, I don't know. She's in entertainment more.
I did want to bring something up.
Yes.
That is... irking me, which, I mean, maybe it's a little extreme, but I will say this.
Uh-huh.
So, I got an email the other day, and, okay, this is political, this is why I'm bringing this up.
Uh-huh.
And I don't really like getting into politics, you know, I hate it.
Hold on a second, because our guest is calling right now.
Oh,
right on
we'll go
time,
back to
so
that.
So, we'll go back to that, yeah. Good morning, you're on the air, go ahead.
Good morning, this is Judy Norton.
Yes, hi. Judy, good morning. We just finished introducing you, and so thanks for calling right on time. We really appreciate
Absolutely.
This. Are you calling us from L.A. this morning?
I am, yes.
Is that where you grew up, in L.A.?
It is, yeah.
Oh, okay. So, but I mean, were you born here as well, or did you move here from somewhere else? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Not many people are born in L.A.
I know.
Everybody, everybody's from New York here or something, you know.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when you grow up here, you know, this kind of weather's a little hard to beat, so.
That's true. I mean, you know, I just can't believe what great weather we've had. So that's incredible.
Yeah.
So, Judy, you're into a lot of things. I just want to let everybody know that whoever's not familiar with you, that you were Mary Ellen on The Waltons way back when. And you've obviously got a great body of work. You've done a lot of theater and TV and so forth. So, and you wanted to talk specifically about Hollywood and 20th Century Stories. Tell us what that's about.
Yeah, it's one of the projects that I'm involved with on a regular basis. It's the Golden Age Theater and Golden Age Stories. Basically, what we do is every Saturday night here in Hollywood, for the people who live here, there is basically, it's like a live radio drama that's done.
Oh.
Like, you know, it's kind of a bit of a throwback to, you know, to the 30s and the 40s when they did that sort of thing. And they take the pulp fiction stories of L. Ron Hubbard, and they get a group of actors, and they basically, you know, do like a live books on tape thing where they create the story, the actors do all the voices, they add sound effects and lights and things, and the audience gets to use their imagination and create the visuals for themselves. It's just a lot of fun. I mean, L. Ron Hubbard wrote stories and, you know, westerns and fantasies and
so it's
sci-fi,
not just science fiction and stuff, right?
Yeah.
That's really cool. See, I would love to get involved in that. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it really
is.
You know?
Yeah, and the audiences have such a good time. I mean, I originally went and attended, you know, as an audience member and just had such fun that I kind of went, hey, can I come play?
Yeah. Nice.
This is fun.
So they let me, you know, from time to time I get to come in and, you know, either be one of the actors in the story or sometimes they also do like a little bit of pre-show music. So sometimes I'll come in and sing for, you know, the pre-show entertainment and, every Saturday night on right on Hollywood Boulevard.
Is this in Celebrity Center or is this?
No, this is over right near where like the footprints are, where, you know, the old Grauman's Chinese was, and
oh.
So right in that revitalized area of Hollywood.
Okay.
If people want to check, I don't know the exact address, but if you go to goldenagetheater.com. You can find out about getting tickets. I mean, it's something like $10 for a ticket, so it's like a really, in these days, a very, you know, inexpensive full evening of entertainment. You get the music, you get the L. Ron Hubbard story, fiction story, you get, and then there's a reception after where people can mix and mingle with the actors and, you know, have a, you know, some snacks and. So it's just a lovely Saturday night in Hollywood.
Right. Yeah,
yeah.
It sounds like it. Now, how did they decide to focus on L. Ron Hubbard's stories?
Well, the Golden Age Stories, which presents the Golden Age Theater, is basically represents all the pulp fiction, all the various fiction works of L. Ron Hubbard. So they decided, because of how prolific his body of writings are, that you know, they wanted to introduce them to more people, and there's been, you know, sort of a resurgence of the kind of pulp fiction stories, and so it was just a concept that they had to introduce some of these works to a new generation, and started doing it on a simple basis, and it just grew into now this weekly event, and now they have touring companies that go out and do them in other cities, and it's turned into quite a production.
That's
so
awesome.
I mean, they're just great stories, and you know, as you know, I mean, a good story holds up with time.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking at it now, and there's this weekend is King of the Gunmen, And that has two showings. And then the next show is They Killed Him Dead. And the one this weekend is a Western, and the mystery is... I'd like to go see these. These sound cool.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. Yeah. It's unusual, you know, if you like theater and things like that.
I do.
Yeah. So, Judy, is theater your favorite? Or because you've been on TV, you've been in films and everything, and you've obviously acted quite a bit from a young age. So is theater your favorite, really, or... is that your passion?
You know, I like them both. They each present a different sort of challenge, and you know, they each have their advantages and their disadvantages. So I really enjoy being able to sort of move back and forth between the two. I mean, I'm also right now working on a new TV series up in Canada. Mm. I have a recurring role on this new show called Bluff. Playing a judge. Hey, go figure. Judge Judy, where have I heard that?
Yeah.
So that's been fun, and I've been, besides the acting, I've also, you know, started doing a lot of work behind the scenes, writing and directing. So I'm also working as a writer and director on this TV series, and, have done a lot of that with theater as well, written for theater, you know, directed theater, and so it's just, that's fun for me to be able to keep moving, you know, amongst new challenges. And, you know, it keeps me, excited about getting up and, what's my newest adventure. And
yeah, it's not your 9 to 5 every day doing the same thing, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm just still, you know, inspired and not remotely looking to slow down or.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Now, so you started at a young age. How old were you when you actually started acting? I mean, how did you get into it?
I was probably about 6 or 7. I mean, my parents initially started me with dance classes and some little, children's musical theater stuff. And then it kind of moved from there to getting an agent and going out on auditions and, you know, started off doing some commercial work and then, getting an episode here and there on a TV show, a movie or whatever. And just kind of continued that until I got the big break when I got cast as Mary Ellen, I mean, which was originally The Homecoming, this time of year. I think they've just been airing it again.
Oh, really?
The Homecoming was our TV. It was just meant to be a Christmas TV movie. And then it was very successful and CBS, was looking for some family programming, and they decided, the producers pitched it as a series, and
awesome.
It kind of went from there and changed my life forever.
Wow, that's amazing. And I saw, I was looking up some of your stuff, and I saw that you guys got together sometime this year, right? The whole cast of the Waltons?
Yeah, we just the end of September had celebrated the 40th anniversary of basically the year the series started.
Wow.
So we just had a live gathering in LA to honor, and pay tribute to the show, and most of the cast was there, and then we had a lot of our supporting cast, or recurring characters that came in, like Ike and Corbeth Godsey, and some of the people who are around regularly, and a number of our guest stars. We had some pretty amazing guest stars come through, and people like Sissy Spacek and Stephen Collins and Jonathan Frakes and Michael O'Keefe, and so a lot of them came also to honor and pay tribute to the show, some of our writers and directors, and so it was just a really lovely evening.
Sounds amazing.
The longevity of the show just continues to, humble us, I think. We had no concept when we were doing it that it would have this sort of longevity, and I know we're all incredibly grateful that, that the show...
Yeah.
Proud of the body of work, it had something really wonderful and timeless to say.
So now you did most of you growing up, obviously. I mean, the show was for about 10 years, 10 seasons, right?
And we did, nine seasons.
And then, so from 6 to about 15, 16. So, I mean, you grew up from a little girl to a young woman during this whole time. Do you feel it sort of like shaped your life in some way?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, all through my teens and everything, you know, I was doing the series, and so at all those points in a person's life when they're trying to decide what direction they want to go with their life, and, you know, and step into the workplace and make that transition, you know, it was a very easy, you know, way to kind of find out, is this what I want to do with my life, and get, you know, to have the opportunity to have that kind of professional experience, and, you know, rather than just a classroom experience, was invaluable and really set me up well for knowing, you know, I mean, some of the younger cast decided it wasn't what they wanted to do with their life, and they moved into other areas.
Oh.
But, you know, for a lot of us, we went, yeah, this is what we love, and, you know, have continued to work in the entertainment industry and, you know, make a career out of it.
Yeah. Now, what was it like, you know, you're 6, 7 years old, and you have to work probably every day. you probably had to go to school or have someone school you and all that stuff. I mean, what's it like, you know, for a kid to have so much responsibility?
Well, it isn't for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it definitely, as unfortunately we hear the stories of, you know, child actors who've had a very difficult time and have not, you know, have not dealt with it well, you know, mentally, emotionally, whatever. So it's not something to take lightly, you know. Parents go, hey, you know, I think I'm going to put my kid in show business.
Yeah.
I think it really has to be driven by the child, you know, and
yeah.
If the kid is like, I don't want to do it, you know, or, I mean, once you take on the responsibility, you're kind of stuck, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
With a series.
Yeah.
But I always loved it, and so it was something that, you know, I wouldn't say that, I mean, I was actually was just a teenager as we started, so I was like 13 when we started. But I'd already had some experience on set. I already knew that I loved it. You know, I didn't necessarily feel the pressure and have difficulty with that. Yeah, you have a tremendous amount of responsibility because the expectations are the same for the kids as the grown-ups. You know, you have to be there. You have to be prepared. You have to know your lines. You have to deliver when they need you to.
Right.
So all of that, yeah, it takes a certain type of personality and, you know, a certain type of individual to flourish in that kind of an environment. But for those of us who gravitate to it and love it, it's, you know, it's such a joy to get to get up every day and go do what you love to do.
Yeah.
So I always felt like it was enhancing my life. You know, we did have tutors on the set, so I had a wonderful education. I had some wonderful teachers. We, you know, it is a requirement. They do protect the children, you
right.
know, up until the age of 18. You know, you are, there's a lot of strict rules. They do make sure that you get your education. It's one-on-one, so I got, you know, tremendous help with the subjects that I had difficulty with, and was able to just sort of, you know, breeze through the things that were not difficult for me. You know, your hours are restricted until you turn 18, and then there's other union rules governing, you know, your working hours and stuff like that. But, you know, it is not, you know, in a union situation, I mean, unions have their pros and cons, you know,
right.
But they do protect the children.
Right.
And, you know, and then it's, you know, I think it's up to the parents as well to really know your child and you know, and monitor that because, you know, that's going to be the most important thing.
Yeah.
You know, the company needs to get the job done and the parent needs to really kind of make sure that child is doing well and not adversely being affected by the stress and the pressure of it.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to ask you, were your parents performers as well? Is that how you got involved in this? Or did they just decide, we want our kid to be in show business, or maybe our kid should be and encourage you?
My mother had been a performer growing up. She was an acrobat. She grew up in England.
Wow.
And did basically, you know, what, like vaudeville. And had, from the time she was young, my grandfather had been one of England's leading gymnasts. And so he trained my mom and her brother from the time they were very small and put together this, you know, acrobatic act that they did, and they toured around when she was young. And so she had always enjoyed, you know, sort of the entertainment business and, you know, was fascinated by Hollywood. She grew up during, you know, during World War II, and so she was really wanted to come to Hollywood and see what that was all about. And she never worked as an actor. She did sing professionally. So I think that was a lot of the impetus. And then my father was very persistent, and he had the, you know, the tenacity to, you know, find out how to do it, and, you know, and what to do, and how to get an agent, and how to get his kids going. And there were three of us, and we all initially kind of started, but I'm the only one who really had enough interest in pursuing it. So both my brother and sister early on decided it wasn't for them, and, you know, and bowed out. And
it was in your blood, though.
I got the lucky break, and there you go.
Yeah. Okay, well, Judy, everybody can go to judynorton.com. Is there any other website you want to promote as well?
No, I mean, to find out what I'm doing and keep up on my activities, my website's great. If you want to go experience one of the evenings at the Golden Age Theater, then go to goldenagetheater.com and find out about the theater experience, or goldenagestories.com will give you a list of all of L. Ron Hubbard's Pulp Fiction works if you want to find out about any of those.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So are you on all the productions there? Are you there every week?
I am not. They change it around and work with sort of a, they have a pool of actors that they kind of rotate between. And the stories, because of the nature of them, are more heavily male-driven than female-driven.
Yeah.
So a fact of Hollywood. So there are more men, you know, that work regularly than the women. So, but I've had an opportunity to come in and narrate some stories, and so, you know, and then the music, of course, is you know, a frequent thing that I do as well. So
yeah,
I don't have another specific date that I will be there, but I'll be sure and post it when I do.
Okay, sounds good.
Awesome.
Judy, thank you so much for taking out the time this morning to talk to us.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure, and happy holidays to everyone.
Thank you,
and we'll definitely catch the Golden Age Theater. It sounds interesting, sounds fascinating, so I think we're going to go.
Great.
And yeah, we'll find out when you're on, and we'll be there. So,
all right, perfect.
Judy,
I'll
thank
you
so much. Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye. She's nice.
Yeah.
It's amazing, you know, how people get into show business like that. And, you know, sometimes it's the parent just pushing you, or not necessarily pushing you, but directing you in that direction, you know. And but I always am fascinated with why parents want to do it and when and so forth, you know.
Right.
And it's pretty interesting stuff. So, yeah. And
sorry, I was looking at. I know that.
You know, I mean, it's cool to have been in the Waltons and stuff, you know, and you start at a young age and then you work for 10 years. I'm sure she's set for life with all the royalties and everything.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, I was already thinking that.
Yeah, although you never know, because, you know, when you're young, they don't really give you such great benefits unless you have a good agent or something.
Well, with unions, it's standard. So
oh, it is?
She got standard. Yeah, so
okay.
She's making bank. But I wanted to say that I didn't want to say it while she was on the line, but Mary Carey had tweeted to me. And she said that it's her mother's favorite person ever.
Really? Yeah, Judy Norton?
Yes. She loved Mary Ellen character so much on the show. That's how Mary was named.
Really?
Mary Carey's real name is Mary Ellen.
Wow.
And she was named after Mary Ellen from the Waltons.
Wow,
so
how
she
amazing.
They were going to call into the show, but I just got the tweet. So
yeah.
I was writing back and I was like, it's too late. But.
Wow, so they must have really liked it, huh? Her parents did.
Yeah, obviously.
If they named her that.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
That's funny, yeah. I never even watched the whole episode of that, but I was very aware of how successful the show was and how much people loved it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when the show runs for 9 years, you know, and it's a family-oriented show,
yeah.
You know, it's going to stick around for a long time.
Right.
So that's cool.
This is true. I'm trying to find this thing that...
Did you hear about the 2.5 men thing that happened yesterday? The little kid. His name is Angus Jones. That's the kid, you know, the half man in the show. So, have you watched the show lately? I mean, have you seen him at all?
No. I don't give a shit about that show. Sorry.
I enjoy watching it. It's pretty funny, actually. And so he came out the other night, and he, I guess someone released a video that he did. And he sits there and he says, "The show is filth. I don't want, I'm on the show, but I don't want you to watch the show."
What?
Yeah, and so forth, and was bad-mouthing it and stuff, so.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So someone's getting fired.
Yeah, so reminiscent of Charlie Sheen, you know?
Right.
So, you know, biting the hand that feeds you and shitting where you eat. So,
wow.
Yeah, but apparently what happens is he got into religion and stuff, and he says, you know, this I can't be part of this religion and do this kind of a show at the same time. You know, it's they don't go together.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I guess, you know, all over the media they talk about this like it's a big deal and shit, and some people don't even know who he is. But the important thing, I guess, later today he came out and apologized and all that, and so Charlie Sheen says that his Jones's meltdown shows the show is cursed.
Could be.
Yeah, cursed with Charlie Sheen. But it was good when he was on. I mean, it's not as good now, you know.
Not as good.
But it's still funny, you know. I mean, it's still, and it's it is a filthy show.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of sex jokes and things like that all the time. But I would say that. Have you ever watched Two Broke Girls?
No.
Okay, that one is...
it looks
that
cute.
That one's pretty filthy, though, too, yeah.
It looks cute.
It's very funny. It's very funny. I mean, they talk about vaginas and orgasms and stuff right on, you know, prime time.
Good.
So, yeah.
About time.
Yeah, somebody needs to. So, yeah. Tomorrow we're going to have Susan Schofield here, and I think she's going to bring her husband, Mike. Now, Susan is a host here. She has a show called Bipolar Nation. But
is she bipolar?
Yeah.
Should I take a lot of medicine?
Not only that, but she's pretty hyper, but I love Susan. She's amazing. She's very smart. And but the thing is that they have a daughter who's schizophrenic.
Oh, wow.
And she's, you know, she's young. She's like 10 years old or something.
Right.
And it's very, very rare for kids to have that. So their life is hell. And they wrote a book that they released, you know, a few months ago. And they constantly go, you know, they've been on Dr. Phil and on Oprah and all these shows, you know, because it's very unusual. And they'll tell us all about it. I mean, it's your heart goes out to them for having to live like this with this every day, you know.
Yeah.
And it's your kid, you know. I mean, you're not going to turn your back on them. But it's very tough, you know. It can drive people apart. I know they have a son also, a little kid, a little boy. So they actually lived in two separate apartments, like next door to each other, one with the daughter, one with the son, so she wouldn't hurt him.
Wow.
Yeah. So you'll see, it's pretty heavy, but it's very encouraging to hear the story and stuff, you
That's
know.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But it's, I mean, imagine,
I mean, is she with it? I mean, usually you have multiple personalities with the schizophrenia as well. Do they have, should she have that too or no?
No, I don't think so. What she has is that she has like imaginary friends. She has like imaginary life, I think. And she comes up with all these things and you just go, wow, you know, where does this all come
Maybe
from?
Maybe she's not really schizophrenic. Maybe she's just seeing in the other world.
Well, we'll see. Yeah.
She could be living in two parallels. You never know.
Yeah.
You know, see, that's the thing. Okay, I will say this, and this gets into a whole other topic, and this makes me crazy. But with schizophrenia, and I majored in psychology, so, like, I understand all this, too. But with schizophrenia, I understand, you know, the terms for it. But if you go into a whole, I don't know, spiritual aspect of it, technically, like, they talk about other worlds, talk about fairies, talk about monsters. They talk about, you know, these imaginary things, people, friends, whatever they are, powers, everything. And maybe they really are seeing that.
Yeah.
Maybe schizophrenic. No, I'm serious. This is a whole nother
thing. No, I mean, I know. That
it could,
I'm just saying,
what if, because, you know, like, certain people can see ghosts and spirits, and that's accepted. For whatever reason, you know, nowadays it's like, oh, you're a medium. Okay, that's accepted, mm-hmm. you know? Whereas what if she were some sort of, I don't know, parallel, like, what do you call it? Not shifter.
Like a medium that can go into other planes.
Different planes.
Other,
yeah, different parallels, different dimensions. Exactly. Right. And they were like this shifter from different realms. Uh-huh. Kind of like, I don't remember what that movie was called, but they had one that was very similar to like that. I can't remember what it's called. It's going to drive me insane, but that's all right. Where they could literally zap from place to place in different parallels. It was a good movie, too.
I can't remember. It sounds familiar, though.
It was really cool. And what happened was, this movie was about they stole, because they could zap from different places, and they would steal money and hide it in like another parallel, and like,
oh,
it was pretty cool. Anyway, whatever. So, what? Not saying that that's, but what if she's just seeing other parallels?
Right.
Or other dimensions, and we don't quite understand it, because there aren't that many people that can do that.
Right.
And we look at it upon as, oh, well, that's just schizophrenic, you're just crazy.
That's
just like,
true,
just
yeah.
like, you know, while back in the day, they would be like, oh, well, you know, you're a medium, or you're talk to spirits, or you see ghosts, or whatever it is, you see auras, you're crazy.
Yeah.
You know, because no one else understood it. But now there's like hundreds of people or thousands of people coming out saying, oh, I can read auras. Now there's all these healers now. And it's accepted.
Right.
Like, it is, like, becoming, oh, like, I've run into people all the time who are like, oh, I can do this or I can do that, you know?
Yeah.
It's normal.
Right.
It's becoming like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
what
plus
if,
in the past, you know, I mean, people would have depression or something and they would be considered crazy, you know, or like defective or something.
Right.
So, yeah, so things change. I mean, you're right. Maybe 30, 40 years from now, we'll look back and we go,
maybe
wow, we call
run.
Them mental patients and they're not, you know?
And maybe someone should run tests on these kids who are schizophrenic, because
oh, they
maybe
do.
It is,
we'll find
maybe
out
it
anything.
Is schizophrenic. Maybe it is. Mm. They're not going to run tests on what I'm saying. What I'm saying is,
no, not on what you're saying.
I'm saying,
but they
paranormal. Here's, right. Here's what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm saying, what if you were to run, there was some paranormal, okay, part of University of Pennsylvania. I know they've got a big paranormal department. So what if they took schizophrenic kids who could see other dimensions, realms, whatever, and they did some testing on them, which I don't know what kind of testing you would do. I have no idea.
Right.
But you do some sort of testing on these children, and you take them in to see if they are really just gifted paranormal kids.
Mm.
I wonder.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm throwing it out there.
Yeah.
It's a topic.
But obviously science doesn't embrace that, so...
I don't give a shit about science.
Yeah.
Science doesn't embrace a lot of things, and I think that are crap. just like, you know, medical doctors and antibiotics and things like that are crap. You know?
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. It's possible.
It would be
who
interesting
knows? Yeah.
If they were to find something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I learned not to write anything off. You know, you never know.
I am just pulling other philosophy out of my butt right now.
Yeah.
So just go with it.
Yeah.
But I like where I'm coming from. I think someone should do something about it.
Yeah.
So there. Anyway.
Yeah. So back east, they have the Powerball jackpot thing. You know that? The big lottery that they always
yes.
have, and it reaches a lot of money. Well, it reached like over $500 million. That's $500 million that you could win if you win.
Really?
Yeah. Now, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of freaking money, man. I don't know what the hell you would do with so much. But the thing is that they're saying that your chances of a ticket... of winning the ticket is 175 million to one.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. That's a lot. But somebody's probably going to win that.
This is just the Powerball, though, right?
Yeah.
I've won the lottery before.
Really?
I was young.
Yeah.
I used to win Keno all the time. Do you remember
yeah,
that?
Keno from...
I think it's like
yeah,
the red...
Vegas. In Vegas, they have Keno.
I don't know. I got it in Maryland. I think Keno is like the redneck version of the lottery.
Yeah.
I totally believe that.
Yeah. It's like bingo, you know?
Kind of.
That's what it is.
But I used to win a lot. And I used to get a lot of free bar tabs that way.
Really?
It was pretty rad.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, with that kind of money, man, shit. You know, you own the fucking world.
Yeah.
You know? But they find that a lot of lottery winners end up without a penny, you know?
Yeah.
They just spend it too fast. They don't know what to do with the money. And
yeah. I think... Because it's like people that usually play the lottery aren't usually obviously know how to manage their money. Right. So you kind of just go and you're like, oh, put a dollar here, put a dollar there, like wishful thinking. And then you get it and you're like, well, A, the taxes at first. Right. And then B, you're like, oh my gosh, I've never had money before. So I need to get this, I need to get that, I need to get this.
That's
I've never
true.
Had it.
Yeah.
And they just kind of like blow through. They don't know how to manage their money.
I just can't see how you'd blow over through $500 million, but maybe somebody could.
I don't either, but I do have a friend. I couldn't believe the amount of money that he would go through, and he would just blow through it all the time. And I used to say to him, what are you doing? Why don't you just buy a car? Stop leasing the car. Stop renting a car. This is ridiculous. Do you realize the amount of money that you're spending here, here, and here? And he would, I don't care.
No, but when you buy a car, it's actually the same thing as lease. There's no difference, really.
He would rent them sometimes. I'm talking rent them.
Renting the car.
Which is ridiculous. Yeah. And, oh my God, this person was just, I've seen millions go right through his hands, all the time. And then he would be so broke. And I'm like, what are you doing? It's because you're retarded.
Yeah, some people can't handle that much money. I don't know what I'd be like if I had that much, but.
I know exactly what I would be like. Yeah, the same as I'd
give
be
away
now.
A lot. Yeah.
I would be the same as I am now.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's true, except I would give more to charity because I would have more.
True.
But
you can still do other things for charity.
That's true. I mean, that's it. You don't have to give money.
I think I do a charity thing every other month. Mm. I think. And it's not even like you're giving. Like I do the charity events. Like I have the one coming up on Saturday, which everyone should bring their wallets and come to. Because my silent auction is amazing. But yeah, I mean, you could come and help me, for example.
Right.
Like I've spent time and. Writing all these companies to give products and whatnot for the silent auction to raise money for the charity.
Right.
So it's not that you actually have to give money yourself.
That's true, yeah.
To the charity. You could just invest time and create your own type charity that I've done or, go volunteer at a soup kitchen or something. I'm doing that tonight.
Really?
Yes.
Wow,
I'm
how
going
cool.
to feed the homeless tonight.
Wow. Where is it, downtown or something?
Yeah, it's downtown.
Wow.
Yeah. Skid Row, actually.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm going with my girlfriend.
That's nice.
We thought we would give back.
Yeah.
Yeah, people usually, they do it on like Thanksgiving. There's like, the big Thanksgiving Day or Christmas Day that they get a bunch of celebrities to go in and do it, which is great and fantastic, but people are starving year round, not just on holidays.
Yeah, so. That's true. Yeah, they have to eat.
Yes.
That's good. Well, I'm proud of you. That's pretty cool.
Thanks.
It's a nice thing to do, and I need to start doing more rather than thinking about myself all the time.
God, you're so... I'm kidding.
Shut up. Don't say it.
You know what you could do is you could buy me things. That would be good.
I see. That's charity.
That's charity. Well, my birthday is coming up.
Okay.
Which, by the way, I don't know why, but I was... decided that I wanted a new bed frame.
Uh-huh.
So I was like searching online this morning. I do this. I'm so random. I don't know where these thoughts come from, but they just do. And I was like, oh, I should look at bed frames. So I started doing that this morning. I don't know what triggered it. And I'm obsessed with this like one company, but they're like $6,000 bed frames. Of course. My taste.
Yeah.
This is what I've... Yeah.
Wow, $6,000.
I know, and it's funny. Then it's like, you can create a wish list. I'm like, who's going to create a wish list with this guy?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. When you finally decide to settle down, find someone rich.
Oh, no.
So you can get all the things you want.
I have all the things I want. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I like my things. And you know what? I'm actually getting rid of a lot of my things.
Really?
Yeah. I don't... Why have object... that's the biggest thing. Objects can own you.
Right.
And I don't want... Like I'm clearing all my clutter. I don't want any of it.
Good for you.
Maybe
that's
three
cool.
things out of it.
Yeah. And then start hoarding new things.
No, I'm not a hoarder. But I am in this whole rendition of clearing out.
Yeah.
So I started doing that this morning. I got up early, like 7, and I started just, I'm ripping this down. I'm taking this down. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And then I looked at bed frames. I'm like, what am I doing and why?
I don't know what it is, but women, every once in a while they get up. Okay, I need to change everything around. The furniture, this, the that.
I do that with, I feel like if the energy is not working in my room, then I have to change it all around and make it new. And that's fine. My energy is great in there. It's just I am just over a lot of it and I want it gone. So, and plus it's the holiday season, so I'm like, I could give these away to people.
Yeah.
Makes me feel good.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, we are out of time. Thank you, Judy Norton, for joining us. Brigetta, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thanks, everybody, for joining us, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Ciao.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta is an L.A. Talk Radio production where we say what we want.